Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How you doing, Los Angeles? Happy December 1st. We're looking over the mountains here. I can see snow. It's beautiful driving in today. The ocean was to my left. The snow was to my right. I have a really special guest in studio. We are so effing lucky to have her. Nicole Moore,
Hello.
The Love Works Method. Love Method Works?
Love Works Method.
The Love Works Method.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Yay!
Yeah, I'm so happy.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You look really, really good.
Yeah.
Did Thanksgiving treat you well?
It did. It did. Yeah. I mean, I love food, so I love a holiday.
We love food. That is something we all can relate to,
yeah.
You know? So where did you spend your Thanksgiving?
At home.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was just me and my little family. I had a friend come over. I didn't even make a turkey. I made lamb in the crock pot.
Okay.
It was delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. She's got some skills here in the I love a crock pot. We're busy women.
I know.
Throw it in the crock pot and be happy in a few
delicious.
Hours.
Yeah.
Easy. So, you guys, I wanted to switch it up a little bit because we've got entrepreneurs of all types that come on, but Nicole does something really specific and something that we all want in our lives. Whether we want to admit it or not, we all want love, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you agree with that?
Yeah, everyone. Every single person at the end of the day wants love.
Yeah.
And they want a happy love life. They just don't know how to get it. Most people don't know how to get it, but everyone wants love.
Well, and so 'tis the season.
Yeah.
You know, for more love, and hopefully everybody takes a beat instead of, you know, hurrying over at the mall and running you over with their car. We take a beat and we try to give a little bit more love. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you kind of came upon this calling.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm from New York City, native New Yorker, Upper East Side, born and raised.
Okay.
I didn't go to school for love coaching. There was like no such thing as that. I have a degree in public relations, actually. And I was doing that for a while. And then I got bored. I didn't want to work in an office, all this stuff. And I came across life coaching, like this thing called life coaching. And this was like, I don't know, 8 years ago, eight and a half years ago. Not everybody and their mother was a life coach. Now I feel like the only people I know are coaches, but.
Okay.
But.
Yeah.
But, and it kind of piqued my interest. And I was like, at this point where I was like, I want to quit my job. I had a little bit of savings and I just quit. And I said,
good.
I'm going to travel. I'm going to figure out what I want to do. I went to life coaching school and I loved it. I loved it so much. And then everybody that came to me wanted to talk about love. Every single woman. Like,
really?
Bottom line. And then it was kind of like in my story. I was in a relationship at the time. I thought he was my soulmate.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. He was actually an emotionally abusive narcissist who cheated on me and la, 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 la.
Oh.
But like that also helped me in my own healing path and knowing really how to help women. So the path kind of came to me a little bit, and I kind of went towards the path, and the two things merged together.
That's really, really dope. So you found yourself being called to something else.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we touched on this on another episode, where people, you know, who have to do that 9 to 5 to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't knock it because I've had every job. I've made a list. I got to make that list and post it for you guys because it's hilarious. But I've had every job. But there's something about listening to that inner voice that says, you're done here or enough.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't have a lot of savings, what would you give, I mean, advice for people who are thinking, should I go back to this? I'm really unhappy. They should step into that calling, right?
Yeah. So what I did, I didn't know what I wanted to do at first. I just knew I was miserable where I was at. And I was working in an office and everybody happened to be older.
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem miserable. Like literally everyone in the office seemed miserable. And I remember having this conversation with myself of like, Nicole, I felt like at some point these people just, because they work there for years, like 30 years,
but they
seem miserable. And I was like, Nicole, if you stay here, you're going to become them. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. So like every day when I had any free time, I would just sit and I would like write in my journal. Okay, what do I know I want? Okay, I had like the little like outline.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to help people. I see myself working on one-on-one. I just kind of started feeling in the vision little by little. So
okay.
I would say start there. Like whatever small little pieces of the vision you have, write them down. I asked. I prayed every single day, literally.
Right.
I was always asking. And then the answer came. I think if you're open and you ask and you stay with it, You're going to have that flash of insight like I did.
Yeah. And you just know when to jump. Mm-hmm. It's just an inclination. Like anything else, when you know, okay, those are the pairs of shoes or that's the car. Yeah. I mean, those are material things, but materialistic. But yeah. Hey, those are important too.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, because, you know, you don't just do matchmaking for everyone and love method for everyone, even though we all want it. You targeted a certain an audience. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Can you tell us exactly who your clientele are?
Yeah. I mean, I work with really amazing, driven, powerful women, like super powerful, whether they're celebrities, whether they're bosses who have like multiple seven-figure empires. Now, I will say this. When I started out, I was working with a very broad – I have worked with every single kind of woman on the planet.
Okay.
But as I started to grow, I thought, well, first of all, that's kind of who I am. I'm a boss babe. You know what I mean? I have big visions. I have big goals. I started getting more and more and more clear on who I wanted to work with and who I could really help be successful. And now it's pretty much like all of my private clients, they're like freaking amazing women that you would look to and you're like, how the hell is she single? Right? She looks like she has it together. That's the one who I work with. On the outside, she looks like she has it together. She does have it together.
Yeah.
Except in her love life, there's a little bit of a hot mess situation going on.
Yeah.
I help her handle that. So really, she could have it all.
Like, I like
that's
that.
That's it.
I like that. So it kind of like you get, again, the vision pulled you where you needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you're saying that. So let's get down to the nitty gritty of this thing. Yeah. So you have a thing called the love method.
Yeah.
So can you tell me what was the inspiration for this method and like how come you have it and we don't all have it? Like what the hell? You know, just like the boobs. I missed out on the titties when they passed out. What was I doing? I have a lot back here, but that's okay. Anyway.
Okay. So this like goes back to like I started studying personal development, spirituality, all of that, like basically since I was like 21, 22 years old. So,
oh, wow.
Long story short, I developed this stomach problem when I was in senior year of college and they were like, don't drink. And I thought my life was over at the time because that's what you think when you're young.
Okay.
So all my friends in New York City were going out and binge drinking and I literally could not, like my stomach couldn't handle it. And I thought it was like my life was over, but it was really a divine blessing. So I was sitting in my house, I was watching Oprah, I was going to the bookstore, I was in the personal development section, I was just studying over and over, like all the time. And I would just sit there with my journal and I would just, I don't know, I just got insights on my own self. And then when I figured out something that worked for me, like, oh, I shifted this limiting belief, that helped me. I shifted this emotion, I did this to feel more confident, that helped me. I started to kind of write it all down.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it came together. And I've coached like thousands of women at this point.
Really?
So anytime, yes. So anytime I saw something that helped one person, I kind of like put it all together. And eventually it became like a
method.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. A curriculum. So she's got a love curriculum. Because I think a lot of people find that it's something you stumble upon. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're in the right bar at the right time. And there's a luck thing. But I think it's an energy thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Isn't it an energy like anything else?
Yeah. Love is an energy game. Well, okay. This is what I think. You can attract by, I call it attracting by default. Okay.
Okay.
So that's when you just go and you meet somebody and you maybe have chemistry for a little bit and it feels like you're finally getting the person. And then 3 months later or maybe a little bit after that or sooner, it all goes to shit, right?
You can curse.
Okay.
Don't fucking worry about it.
That's attracting by default. So most people, they're not, they don't think about it. Like they do think somebody's just going to come into my life. They don't think I'm consciously attracting this person into my life. And so basically you just attract a mix of your own insecurities plus however your parents kind of messed you up. It's the truth. And you attract that in a person.
Well,
but you don't think you have that in the beginning. You think you found the love of your life. But then you've quickly come to realize, no. Like me. Like I thought I had the love of my life. And then I'm like, okay, why did I find myself as a very smart woman in a relationship with really an emotional abuser?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't because of my intellect.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with you being smart, right?
No.
It's because you meet the representative. The representative is there for the first, like, what, 90 days, 120 days, and then you meet the real.
Yeah.
The layers start coming. I say the representative. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true. What how I would say it is then the fear takes over, and then people get out of love.
Oh.
So it's a task. It's first of all, it's finding the right person.
Okay.
Then it's staying in love and not letting all the fear and the insecurities take over.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's see. Give me, there's just so much to unpack here. I mean,
I
because and we're not going to do it in an hour, right? But so you came up with this formula, you started applying it, and you couldn't drink out at the club, so you turned into like a love Oprah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're Love Nicole.
Yeah.
So how did you know you were really on to something and that this curriculum was applicable to other people?
I started helping people. So first, when I started helping people, first it was like pro bono clients. Okay, so when I was first helping pro bono clients, like I literally had, I was so neurotic. I had like a script of like every single possible coaching question that I could have in front of me. Like I was so freaked out, you know?
You didn't want to be caught off guard.
No.
That's
But
good.
Then what started happening was I really started helping people. Like even when I was going through a breakup, like at the time, a horrible breakup, my clients were getting married, they were finding people, like I was starting to realize this really worked. Then I had to apply all my own stuff to
to
find
you.
my person. And then I started to see it was really, really working. So,
Huh.
you know, I think I'm thankful for the people that work with me in the beginning when I didn't have any
The
name or
crash
anything like
dummies.
that.
I'm just kidding. Right? You gotta practice
No,
somewhere.
because they really, honestly, I'm grateful for them because they took a chance
Yeah.
on me. And I see some of them on Facebook and they're still
Oh.
with their person and it
Oh.
just warms my heart. They got me at a much cheaper rate. And,
Hey, half off, y'all. Black Friday.
but no, but and they're with their person. So
That's cool.
it was trial, like in the beginning, it was trial and error, and then seeing, oh, this works.
So, how did you apply it to your own life? And we want the skinny because I've met her husband.
Yeah.
Beautiful family. Happy birthday to your son.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He's cute too,
Yeah.
Lucas. And you guys seem really tight. He seems like he's down for you,
Yeah,
which
he
is
is.
so cool, you
Yeah.
know? And you want that.
Yeah.
So, how did you apply it to yourself? Because it is, we're our toughest critic and
Yeah.
our toughest teacher, right?
Yeah. Okay. So first it was like, so from the breakup to meeting him. So I broke up with that guy because he had like cheated on me again. It was like a whole freaking mess.
Okay, he's out.
Yeah, he's out. And then, so the first thing I did was I had to clear all the emotions. So I put on this Kelly Clarkson song, Addicted. I don't know if you've heard it, but
Okay,
I would play it every day and I
she's
would
dope.
cry, 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 cry. I would get the feelings out.
Yeah,
Because I had to clear it. So
yeah.
when that happened, this is what I said to myself. I said, I had a conversation. I said, Nicole, no matter what, you don't get to close your heart from this. Because that's a mistake that a lot of people make. They get hurt by one person or multiple people, and then they close their heart out of self-protection. And then it's really hard to find good love if you're close-hearted, because then you're attracting the other close-hearted people. Those are the people that hurt you, right?
Okay.
So I that was like my thing. You got to keep your heart open.
Okay.
You got to date. Like, I don't believe this taking a break from dating unless it's like a little bit of time, but most times
Well, you don't
it's
want to be crying on the guy's
no.
shoulder at the movie theater. That's not a good look.
No. But I knew for me, I had to like get out there. So I
Okay.
was clearing the emotions. I was working on my mindset. Like, I really had to look at, well, why didn't I believe I could get better? What part of me felt okay having an abuser? Like, I had to heal all of that stuff. Then I started to date. So when I was dating, I wasn't looking for the one. I did what I call dating for growth, okay?
Okay.
So this is like my trademarked thing.
Okay.
So basically, with every date, I wasn't asking, is he the one? Is he the one? Is he the one? Because then you feel like a failure 99% of the time, right?
Okay.
So it's just like, how is this person helping me grow towards my goal, my love goal? So
Okay.
I knew what I wanted. So I'd play the Kelly Clarkson song, Addicted. I would cry. Then I would play the Higher Love song, okay? But the slow version. And I
Okay.
would play the Higher Love, and I focused on the Higher Love. I knew where I was going. I knew what kind of man I wanted. I knew that. Every other date in between, I looked at it as feedback, as evidence, as growth.
That's good.
That's how I got there
It's
quicker.
a mile marker, like if you're running a race.
Exactly.
I
Exactly.
like that you, that's a good approach, you guys. So just get on Bumble and get stung,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's no,
Get
it's
some bees in
true.
your hive.
It's true. I think it's better to have the experience than
Yeah.
to hold yourself back from the experience, because no matter what, you're going to grow. If you stay closed, you're never going to get there.
And that's good because that's expectations.
Yeah.
And you can manage them when you're doing it that way. Like you said, you don't have to. But this one, okay, so this, the one business, we
Yeah.
have to talk about that because I don't know if I subscribe. I don't know if I have to. I don't know if how you viewers feel about that, and listeners, but is there one? And I would always ask kids when I would interview them at MTV, when I worked on Next and Dismissed, and even on like Fifth Wheel, I'd be like, do you think that there's just one person? And if I don't go to Morocco, I miss out on him. Like, what if I don't go to Sweden this
Yeah.
summer? I'm just not going to meet him. So, Because I believe you could have multiples.
Yeah.
Right? You could have a lot of soulmates.
I believe there's a lot of soulmates. So I believe that there are people out there who you can meet who feel really aligned. Like, for me, my husband feels really aligned. Like, I have to sit and think about if I'm like if somebody asked me the other day, is there anything you feel like you're missing out on with him? And I was sitting there and I was like, Like, I sat there for like a minute and I'm like, I mean, he's 5'11". He said he was 6 feet on Tinder, ladies.
Okay.
I am 5'9".
Just little so white lie. Little white lie.
So I was like, well, I guess he could be taller, but I couldn't. Like, I would have to sit and think about like what would I change about him.
That's great.
So I believe you can find people like that. But I don't like to think that there's only one either, because then it's scarcity. And then it's like, what happens if they die or you don't get on the plane to Morocco?
Yeah.
You're not going to meet them. So I think there's multiple options.
Yeah.
But I think you should be looking for somebody who's really aligned, and you shouldn't settle.
That's really, really key. I love that. So when you find someone that you feel like, oh, man, I'm really aligned, and there's a big old chemistry and a spark. You know, some women tend to go a little overboard. Mm-hmm. They start planning their wedding and all that crazy shit. So, like, what would you suggest to people to kind of, you know, let him do what he needs to do?
Yeah.
You're not taking yourself out on a date. So
no,
let him.
No. Okay. So I know it's tempting, right? When you meet the guy, you're like, oh my God, he's the one. So listen, you have to stay in the evaluator position. So women go into the evaluatee position, meaning they go into, please pick me, please pick me. What do I have to do to get him to pick me? But I always say, you have to imagine, ladies, I don't know, guys, sorry. Like, just you be the pickers.
Yeah, you guys are picking.
But most of my clients are women. But it's like, you have to imagine that if you're a queen on a throne, and you were a real queen, the guys would have to prove themselves to you. Like, they would have to show you, here's what I can bring you, here's what I can do for you. You wouldn't just jump off your throne just because any guy looks nice.
Yeah.
So you're going to lean your energy back. Remember, I'm evaluating you, because whoever gets to be by your side, that's a lucky person.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So reel yourself back, because anytime you go into please pick me, it's not attractive.
It is not attractive.
Yeah.
You pick yourself.
Exactly.
Pick your own self. Okay, good. So, and you deal with a lot of, like, those boss bitches that you say.
Yeah.
And they are sometimes in a power position, or mostly in a power position, making decisions all day and being that type A person that they could be. So, you know, leaning back the energy is a really good tip. Because how do you turn that off? Because I've come from work one time and just gone on a date, and I've just been like in beast mode still. And it's like, oh, I know. That's not cute.
Yeah.
I'm getting a call back.
Wine helps.
Hey, professional wine taster.
Yeah. Okay. It's good if you can take a little bit of time in between that.
The
so
transition.
What I would do is I would play a song. I would just swivel my hips a little bit. I would just take a deep breath. You know what I mean? Because it's not going to work if you are in beast. Well, it depends. If you want to, like, more be beta guy who you can boss around, then it's going to work. But if you want a strong man, it's not going to work.
I find those B beta ones are kind of passive aggressive.
They might be, because they want to be more, they want to be more powerful.
Yeah.
So you got to take a little bit of time.
Okay.
Don't rush into the date. Don't go into the date. Go to the bathroom, check yourself, take a deep breath, talk to yourself. You could say, Monique, soften. You could think about, like, when you're with a family member that you love, or do you have a dog or no?
Not right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking for one.
Okay. So when you get your dog, think about something that makes you feel loved, or think about a moment where you feel loved, because you're going to soften. Like, if I say to you, think about your niece or nephew or whatever.
Absolutely.
You're going to soften. Super. So that's what you got to do. You got to soften, and then go on the date.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So now I want to know, give us some more tea, because we still have so much time, and I know you have a lot to share. Let's say, you know, someone is not sure he's the one. You have a method that can help.
Yeah.
Like a process of elimination, kind of.
Yeah. So, I mean, you should be looking at what people say is your deal breakers or non-negotiables. I mean, listen, like, here's the thing. If somebody has non-negotiables, they're non-negotiable. But women typically don't operate that way. I don't know what men do, but this is the mistake women do. But I love him. Right? Okay, so he's not meeting this. He's unavailable. He doesn't want kids. He doesn't want to move. But I love him. And I don't think men do this. So I think that men look at it as, is this a workable relationship or not? They bring in a little bit more of logic. Mm-hmm. And good for you guys. Women need to bring a little bit more logic into that and not just go off of love. Love is not all you need.
Yeah.
So
you heard this from the Love Method author. Yeah.
So here's what you need to look at. Like, is this relationship workable over time? Like, do they have the same vision? You know, a lot of relationships, they cannot grow. Like, I knew I had to be with somebody who would grow with me over time.
Okay.
Like, you need someone who's going to grow. You need somebody who likes the same things. You need somebody who you're attracted to. Like, write down all the things you want and then look at, is this person, if they're not 80%, they need to go.
Yeah.
If they're 80 or 90%. So if it's 80%, it's a conversation with them where you say, you're honest.
Yeah. Got to be honest, ladies.
Hey, this is my vision for a relationship. These are the things I have a little bit about concern about. I'd love to move forward with you, but I need to talk to you about these things because you need to be empowered. Like, you need to always know your power is in being able to walk away. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to not be in scarcity mode, because if we're like, we're not going to meet anyone else, then we will settle.
There's so much. Yeah. There's so many guys out there.
So much. You got to be true to you. You have to not be afraid to have the conversation about, hey, yeah, I'm worried that this might be a problem over time. But I would say if you are single, why not look for somebody who has 95% or more off the bat? It's so much easier to have a relationship with someone who feels aligned off the bat.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I dabbled online, you know, whatever, just for fun.
What happened to the tattoo guy?
Oh.
See, now I'm getting tea on you.
She's spilling some tea on me. you know, I have some casual friends. I have some couple casual friends. Yeah, yeah. I like tattoos. Hey, tattoos. I hope you're watching.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah, but, you know, kind of lost my train of thought.
I forgot what I was asking you. About the one and the deal breakers.
Yeah.
Not settling.
And not settling. Yeah. Okay. And so that's the thing. I hear that sometimes it's good to, you know, like on the profiles when you, like I dabbled on Bumble or whatever. And maybe the guy's like, doesn't want kids, but has everything else you want. That's a 90% question. At least go on a date with them and say, how hard on you are you on that child? And if they say it's a hard no and you really want one, then you got to let it go.
You got to let it go.
Because you're not going to, you got to fall in love with who they are that day, not who you think they're going to be tomorrow.
Yeah,
right?
The potential. So many people fall for potential.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. Like for me, like I have a really big open heart. I see all the good in everyone.
Yeah.
But that's what I did in past relationships. Like I saw who they could be.
Yeah.
But you have to see how they're showing up now.
I love that.
Yeah. Because potential, No.
So do you deal with, not to take it on a dark side, but I like to cover the whole love spectrum. Do you speak to women that have been abused before? Mm-hmm, and how do you bring, that's a whole nother energy, right? Because
I have a lot of clients who have been with, like they've been married to like narcissistic people. I don't have a lot of physical abuse that I know of. They might be hiding it. Most of the people that come to me, they have emotional abuse. They've been in crazy relationships where people made them feel really bad about themselves.
Okay.
We always have to start with self-love.
Yeah.
Like months and months and months and months of self-love work and then forgiveness work.
Yeah, because the domestic thing I think would be something you'd have to deal with like a counselor to help them. But the emotional, you know, damage is damaging as well. Mm-hmm. It's just you can't see it.
No.
It shows up in other things, right? And, you know, can you touch on that a little bit about it? Like for some of us that aren't really versed with what that looks like?
Okay, so I'll just give examples from my own life because I have experience.
She's an open book, you guys. She's
so
open.
So like, for example, so for my ex told me, basically made me feel like no one else would, like literally saying those words, like you're lucky that I'm with you because no one else is going to want to be with you. He told me that no white guys would want to be. You've seen how white my husband is. He said no white guys are going to want to be with me. He like actually said those words. He's white too, by the way.
Oh, I thought he was Italian.
My husband Mike is Italian.
Yeah.
But I mean, hello, his skin is white.
Yeah.
He told me, but he's trying to play on insecurities.
Sure.
He told me, oh, you were not blessed with a head of good hair. You know what I mean? My natural hair people.
She got curly hair like me.
Yeah. He like so it was like this weird cycle of like in the beginning building you up and saying, oh my God, you're so amazing. So you get hooked because the insecure part of me
feels good when he says it.
Got hooked. And then as I started to get more into my power, so I was building my business, I was doing things that he could not do. He wanted to be a life coach too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
But then, so Nicole goes and starts doing this, and then the criticism start and the la 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 la. So when somebody's like, you should never be in a relationship where somebody's making you feel bad. Like, a relationship is for you to feel good about yourself.
It's supposed to be a reflection, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that kind of stuff is not good. It's not love. This is what women need to understand, because they think it's love. It isn't. I thought it was love.
Okay.
Or I was getting a little bit of love, and I thought that I had to take love with crap. Like, I thought I had to take the two together. Like, I have to take the shit to get the love.
Oh yeah, you got, because you have to work hard to, because if it comes easy, you didn't earn it.
Yeah,
that's,
you have
that
to
old,
take the shit.
Yeah, that's, you don't have to do that.
No,
because it's your vibe.
It is,
right?
Your vibe. It is.
I love that. I love that you're saying that. And you know, I can see how some, and it is a narcissistic thing that people do sometimes, mm-hmm. and they see you propelling, and they want to put you down to, to control. It's a control thing, right?
It is a control thing, yeah. And so, you know, especially because I think ladies are really getting in their power more and more and more. Like, we're just going to rise up. Like, we're just going to rise up.
Boom.
So we need to be with men who are comfortable with women in their power.
I love that. That is absolutely right. I can't tell you how many times guys are like, you're too intimidating. You're too much. I'm like,
no.
MF, you're not enough.
No.
Step
you are
up
not
then,
too
bruh.
Much.
What are
you
doing?
Are not too much. This is the thing that really pisses me off.
It's livid all the time.
This pisses me off so much. Because then you're going to think that you should stop being you. You should not stop being you. You're amazing.
I met her
and we just immediately connected.
I love
you
forever.
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is because I got that too in different ways. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're too much, you're too much. Then I really was like, fuck this. No. Like, why do I have to change who I am in order to be loved? So not everyone's going to like you. I always give this
analogy.
And
that's okay.
No. Like, if I go to a restaurant and I order penne vodka, mm-hmm. I am not rejecting spaghetti and meatballs because I can choose it. I'm just choosing what I want, and that's how dating is. There's somebody that when they see you, they are wanting somebody who's loud and open and the life of the party and a boss babe. So honestly, fuck the guys who aren't.
Yeah, fuck the meatballs.
You are not. Yeah. You are not too
I mean,
much.
Okay, let's keep it rated D. go F or PG-13. Okay, yeah, that's really good. And you know, tell us a little bit about, like, the holidays, because I know the holidays can be a certain thing for people. Even though, you know, you control mm-hmm. the tempo of how you feel. Sometimes when you look around, you're like, damn, okay, everybody's not working. All right, I got a little more time with myself. I'm single. What the hell? Even though it's good to have time by yourself and reflect. But what about when people get a little gloomy?
Yeah,
you know?
People do get gloomy during the holidays.
Can they call you during the holidays?
Yeah, my private clients can. They can message me anytime, all day long.
Yes.
But no, I think it's, okay, so listen, loneliness, you can look at it as I'm so lonely, and this means I'm not going to find love. That's when it's a problem. Okay, so there's the feeling of loneliness, and then there's everything that comes with it. I'm a loser. I'm going to be single forever. No one wants me. Like, maybe I should call my ex. All that stuff doesn't actually relate to the loneliness, which is just a feeling. So I think people need to feel the feeling of loneliness, but then focus on your vision. Like, the only reason you're feeling lonely is because it's an indicator that you want something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you wanted to lose weight, you could look in the mirror and stare at your fat all day long. Or you could just say, well, this means I want to be thinner and go work out.
Go work out. Mm-hmm.
So turn your attention on your vision. Like, if it were me, I'd be like, I'm feeling lonely. That's when I would imagine, okay, what about next Christmas? What about next Christmas if I'm with my person? How is that going to feel? What are we going to be doing? Mm-hmm. You feel all those feelings because it is an energy game. I promise you. Like, manifesting love, it's all about your energy.
Yeah.
So turn the loneliness into, I would rather have you use it as power to get what you want.
Yeah.
Rather than keeping you stuck where you are.
I love it.
But it's okay if you feel lonely. I mean,
that's normal.
Yeah.
It's an indicator. It tells you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you scale this up to being a business where you can pay some bills on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if someone is out there wanting to coach and got a technique that works for them?
Yeah.
And
so like I said, I mean, I started with pro bono clients, and then I, you know, some of them hired me when in the beginning I was like doing everything I could to just, like, all I wanted in the beginning, it's so funny to me now, all I wanted in the beginning was a full coaching practice. Like, I just, so I would manifest it. I would put in my calendar in the future, like, coaching calls, coaching calls, coaching calls. It's so funny because now I'm like, I have like a lot of coaching calls,
too many
calls. I want free time, right?
So That's awesome.
But in the beginning, that's what I wanted. So I would go to like personal development events and I would just like introduce myself. And I'm not, I was an introvert for, I think I'm an extrovert that thought I was an introvert for a long time.
Oh.
But I think I'm really actually an extrovert. You know what I mean? But I didn't know that about myself.
I see you could click it on and off, yeah, maybe.
Both.
Yeah.
But I was so introverted. I was so scared. But I would force myself to say hi to people and talk to them and say, this is what I do. I would go in different communities, like message boards, and like just post my stuff on Facebook. I would post like articles that I had written.
Wow.
I went to BNI, Business Networkers International. It's where you go in the morning at like 6 a.m. and you pitch yourself every single week.
Really?
I mean,
it's like a mini Shark Tank.
Yeah, you kind of like stand around a circle and it's the same people every week and you say, this is my service, and then you have to give referrals. So there's like a real estate agent, and like there was, I felt so weird because I was like, there's so many real businesses and I'm just here saying, I felt so awkward.
So it's a dolphin tank.
But I did it.
Okay, yeah. Good.
No, it's not. It's like.
Do it anyway.
Yeah, I did it. I did a lot of free calls. So I would like tell my friends, like I would like, hey, promote my, I'm doing a free event, like a teleseminar. I did so many of those. Okay. And then I would pick up people, like I would pick up audience members, and I put them on an email list, and I sent out emails every single week, and I started doing YouTube videos, and I have a podcast. So it built over time. But for to build a coaching business, the foundation is still always create a lot of content.
Yeah.
Get people on my email list, send them more content.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the retention,
yeah,
part of it, which you guys, I tell you this every week, but you really have to listen to me until I would like them to pay me one day. Mm-hmm. Hi, Constant Contact. Hi, MailChimp.
Yeah.
But that's a great, those are great platforms that you could put all that data. So whenever you do an event, you, yeah, collect email addresses, mm-hmm, and you put that into a database of your own. And then you send, hey, 10% off,
or exactly,
holiday sale, or,
yeah,
thanks for coming. Here's whatever you want to give them.
Yeah, it's all, right? It's all that. I started with MailChimp too, and it's all that. I mean, I'm running a Black Friday sale right now. Guess where it's coming from? Email. I mean, I post on Instagram. You I do all the social media.
Yeah.
The majority is still my email list, and yeah, that's a community. And yeah, they love hearing from me. And I would like, so many times I would do things over Christmas or holidays where I would say like, email me and I'm going to answer one of your love questions for free.
Ooh.
And I would sit there for hours, like in a cafe, just connecting with my community, not asking for anything, like just giving them advice.
That's great.
But then, you know, a lot of those people ended up turning into clients.
Yeah,
later
that's a
on.
Great way to just put your fishing pole in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like love doesn't go out of style. Mm-hmm. Are you ever going to do like love crisis or love, like, do you do like prep before the wedding, or like, I'm about to get a divorce and I need you to help step in?
Yeah, I mean, I help clients all over the spectrum. So I would say the majority of like 80% are single women who want to find love. But then I have clients who are in a relationship. I have clients who the relationship starts to go south and they want to help me get it better. I have clients who are like, they're like, okay, we're getting married, but I'm freaking out because people have a lot of stuff around marriage, and then they find the person and then they have all their fears around marriage come up.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like go through the whole spectrum. Like I have my curriculum, it's called True Love Academy. It's 36 video modules. It's like a library.
Wow.
It's like literally step by step from how do you find the right person all the way to having a relationship, you know? Okay. So we kind of go through the whole spectrum.
The sure. whole spectrum. And would you take it from when you were a child and your parents fucked you up,
yeah,
to like, really? Is
yeah,
it true?
No. In the beginning, the first part of the program is like getting your mindset right. Like stop doubting. Like you got to get rid of the doubt. Like if you're saying, I don't know if I'm ever going to find them, you don't realize that energetically that's like blocking everything out. Like you have to believe, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
people have excuses everywhere. In LA, they say the guys are too flaky. In New York, they say this, la la la. They're, like, I've heard every single excuse as to why somebody can't find love. Like,
yeah,
you name it, I have heard it, and ultimately they're not true. So like we start with the mindset, like getting that stuff out. Then, yeah, it's healing the childhood stuff. Like,
yeah,
very rarely, I would say like about maybe 3% of people come to me and they're like, my parents were absolutely amazing. And then something else messed them up, like in school or something. You know what I mean? But that is
that fourth grade teacher.
Yeah. But that's so rare because yeah, it's like, where do we learn about love as a kid?
Yeah.
So that's where we have to start. Not that parents mean to do it, but
no. I don't think they. Well, you never know. It just depends on how you handle it today, right? So, what do you find for people who are, like you said, there's a lot, people have a lot of issues around marriage. What do you mean by that for the viewers?
A lot of people are afraid marriage is going to like trap them. Like they're afraid, a lot of people are afraid of making the wrong choice. Like they're so freaked out, like, oh my God, what if I choose and it's the wrong thing? And I'm like, well, then you would just end the relationship and you would find someone else. But to them, it's a disaster. It's like, I'm so afraid of picking the wrong thing. Some women are afraid of like losing themselves, like they're gonna get in the relationship and they're gonna lose themselves. People have all kinds of fears. A lot of women too, like that I work with, they're what I call chronically single. They've been single for years and years and years and years and years. So you kind of build an identity around being single. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to shift into that. Some women, a lot of clients that work with me, they're really like energetically sensitive, like I am. So they're afraid of having somebody in their space. Like there's just so many freaking fears that come up.
So, okay, I'm glad you said the energy sensitivity thing because you did a reading on me. So, do you have, did you bring, I
No,
forgot to
I
ask you if you
didn't
brought
bring
your
them. I should have
cards.
brought them.
Okay,
You
so
know, I'm
you,
making my own card deck too.
oh, well, Merry Christmas to
I
us.
know.
Is that
It's
going to be
coming.
on the, where we can buy it online?
Yeah, it's coming. It's going to be ready either January or February, but yeah.
Gonna make it around our birthday. We have
Yeah.
similar birthdays close by. Because you wait, you're
No,
part of
that's my
first.
husband's.
I thought yours was in January.
No, that's my husband's.
Oh, when's
I'm
his?
April. He's January 17th.
What are you?
April 18th.
You're Aries or
Yeah,
Taurus?
Aries.
Oh, I like you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I like you both. But so Nicole is really good about the energy with the cards as well.
Yeah.
Can you explain to people how that
Yeah.
plays into the method?
Yeah. So, okay. So I basically like I'm hearing information, feeling not hearing, but I feel information all the time about people. So I don't know why I can do this. It's really freaky. Like so I used to have like okay. I used to do a lot of free calls with women in my audience, which is also if you're starting out, it's a good way to get clients. I don't do that anymore. But for years, I've done like thousands of these calls.
What's a free call?
So I would
It
have
sounds
women,
simple.
yeah, so I would have women talk to me about their love life and I would hear about their problems and I would give them some advice. And then if they were a good fit for one of my programs, I would recommend a program. If they weren't a good fit, I would just send them information and be on their merry way.
Okay.
So a small percentage of those people ended up being clients, but
Great.
everyone ended up being served, you know? And the
Yeah.
majority of those people, they did end up signing up later.
Nice.
So I would do all those calls, but what started happening was, so I also know the patterns because I've talked to so many women, I know the patterns. But I would see somebody's name in my calendar and I could like I would just get all this information about them. I don't know how to explain it. Like I could feel
Hey God, we're supposed
I
to have a
know.
deal, dude. Why are you giving up all my
I
business?
would feel like I just could feel like where they were blocked, like
Okay.
weird stuff. So I don't know, I can kind of sense stuff. But so like at events and stuff, like that's how when Monique met me, I will bring out an Oracle card deck. So and I'll have people pull cards and then I'll kind of just like I feel the energy. I give them a reading about their love life. So with my private clients, I just kind of do that. Like I'm always feeling their energy. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I feel like there's something in your mind that's blocking you, or there's just ex that's blocking you, or your past that's blocking you. I don't know why I know how to do this, but I could just
How long have you been able to do
spot.
that though? Before you knew you were gonna, were you still working the desk job when you were able to
Yeah,
do this?
I've always been able to read people.
That's
I've
so
always, you
crazy.
know, this is like, there's always clues along the way. So I always, even before when I had the desk job, when I would be out at dinner, I would be looking at couples and I'd always try and guess like where they were at in their relationship or was it a first day or
Oh.
I was always like really
Curious.
interested in, you know, couple stuff.
Yeah.
So I say I've always been watching people. I've always been really good at reading people. I think that was a skill
Yeah.
that came at a young age, you know?
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That can help you.
Yeah.
I would do that in the pool in Vegas, but it was called the God Game. And I would find like a random gay and get a drink, and we'd float in the pool and just tell the people's story. We're like,
Yeah.
okay, they're on vacation from Tucson or what? Like we would just make
Yeah.
up. Anyway, that's
Exactly.
neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Nicole Lovemore is in the building, you guys. How
Yeah.
lucky are we today? So tell us where we can find, we're not leaving yet, but just, you know, let's give it so people can look it up while they're
Yeah.
listening and watching you. Where can they find you in the sphere of social media and find some of your content?
Yeah, social, it's on Instagram it's at Nicole Moore Love. You can find me there. I post all the time on Instagram. I'm on YouTube too. Nicole Moore Love, I think, or Nicole Love Works. Just if you put Nicole Moore Love, you'll find me. And on my website is loveworksmethod.com.
We love that. So going into the new year, What kind of things should we be focusing on if we are single, powerful women, you know, doing our thing? What pointers would you give us?
Yeah. Okay. So I think you have to accept the fact that you're going to have to date. And I'm saying that with love because I don't know about, I think you're more the anomaly, Monique. So most of the, because you seem to like enjoy dating.
Okay.
That is rare. That is really, 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 really rare. So this is what powerful women do. I don't have time. They see it as a waste of time. They see no return on their investment.
Oh, okay.
So this is what you have to, this is why you have to date for growth. You have to understand that it's not like a linear thing. So it's not like I sent out this email and people bought from me and this generated a return. Like it's not the same thing.
Right.
Or I had this meeting and we made a deal and it generated a return.
Right.
If you are looking to each individual date or experience with a man to generate a particular return on your investment, you are going to feel like crap. You need to understand it's like the long game. All of your efforts are adding up. If you do not quit, you're going to find someone. So if you just stop looking at a waste of time, you're going to be more likely to do it. Because I think a lot of powerful women, they don't do it.
Yeah.
They
That's
don't.
Really good. So, but it's curious for me to hear the people. I come from MTV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These fuckers
don't like to
love
date.
To go on dates.
No.
I mean, I guess we did buy their lunch and stuff. But, you know, and dinner. But so you're saying that most, well, because people are busy.
Yeah.
So I understand. But you've got to eat anyway is my point. So you might as well go and meet someone and have a good time.
No, that's how you think. That's
okay.
Not.
I mean, I gotta eat.
That is not.
Even sometimes I don't go out, but.
That is, no, that's a special way that you think how people should be thinking. Most women, at least the women that come to me, they're thinking, and probably even men too, they're thinking, this is a waste of time. I don't want to go on the date because if it's not the one, that's a waste of time and it's not working for me and la, la, la.
Okay.
They complain about dating. They text their girlfriends about how crappy dating is. They're in a real I hate dating mindset.
Gotcha.
It's really hard to find great love if you're hating dating. So you have to love the game. Like you have to find a way to enjoy the process. Like when I was dating, and a lot of women, this is what they do. They let
y'all are stressing Nicole out.
They let shitty men on a dating app determine how they feel about themselves and what they believe. And I'm like, okay, so let's say you're texting with a guy back and forth for 2 weeks and he doesn't ask you out, which annoys a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, all men suck. I want to stop dating. It's like, but why does that guy get to determine what you have? Like, he's irrelevant. So you have to let the men who are not it be irrelevant. Before I met Mike, I went on 2 dates with a guy who at date 2, I figured out that he was trying to make me into his little like S&M, like he was like a dom daddy.
Oh, not a dom daddy.
I didn't know what that was. I didn't
know. Are you kidding me?
And he was trying to make me into his, I guess, baby or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're the sub.
Yeah. So
I know about that.
That was us. I mean, hey, it's just not my thing.
Okay.
So that was happening. I went on dates with a guy who said, he was like, I love you on the first date. And I was like, oh, I think I'm it's an Encinitas where everyone's like peace and love.
Okay.
So I'm like, he's a burner too. So I was like, oh, you mean like
peace and
love? No. And he's like, no, I actually love you.
Oh, I love you too.
That happened. Another guy was like, on the first date, I want you to have my babies. Like, stuff was happening. Like, it's not like it was like a parade of handsome gentlemen one after the other.
It was a parade, all right.
but my attitude and my mindset around it was so like, but I know I'm going to get what I want. So I don't really have to stress so much about these men. You know what I mean?
Well, that's really good. But let's speak to that because you're knowing, sounds like you're really in tune with source and everything. And I love that. But like you're knowing that you're going to get what you want.
Yeah.
Some people say, I know that when I put in this amount of work ethic, I get this return. And that's why we're addicted to results in business because it helps with self-worth.
Yeah.
Some people, I'm talking about myself.
Yeah. But no, it's true.
It's true. And it feels good because I can control the gauge of what I get back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So with someone else's free will, that's 50% of the of the relationship that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it's going to happen? Especially if you're a woman of a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, let's say you're 41, TikTok, baby.
Yeah.
You got only a couple good eggs left.
Where are you gonna go? Okay. So here's the thing. It's kind of like faith. You have to have faith. You got to have faith.
Okay.
Faith
I like that song.
Faith is when you don't have outside evidence and you believe anyway. So here's the thing with love. This is my belief. I believe that if you have the desire in your heart to be a mom or to be married or to be in a relationship or to be polyamorous relationship, who the hell cares, right?
Ooh.
I have some clients who I help them find their primary partner. So I have one client who wants to find a woman. Like, I help like a lot of different people.
Do what works for you.
Yeah. But you have to think about, how long have you had this desire in your heart for love or to be a mom? Like, why would it be, or whatever it is, why would it be in there if you weren't supposed to have it? This isn't a cruel universe.
I like that, right? Okay, you took the back door. I like the way you came into the house. Okay, that's a good answer.
You know?
So I guess I could apply that to business. Like, my ideas have come to me for a reason, and I didn't just get them. Ever since I've acted on them, they've started to manifest. So I have to look at it the same way with love. Same. All right, business. Attention, business owners. Did you guys get that piece?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Okay, so if you have this desire in your heart and it's been there for a long time.
For business.
It's there for a reason. I do the same thing with my business. I have my business goals too, right? Yeah. Like, I have bigger goals. What I'm doing now was a goal I had at one time. I wanted to work with really high-level women. I wanted to work with celebrities and all that stuff. That's not where I started, but I had a vision of that. So whatever vision you have, if it's something that keeps coming to you, if it's something that's in your heart, it's for a reason. Like, it wasn't placed there randomly. You don't want to be an Olympic gold medal snowboarder, probably, right? Like, it's not, unless you do, and then go for it. But that desire is not in your heart.
Yeah.
The desires in your heart are there because those are the ones you're meant to act out.
And that's
faith. You got to believe.
That's good. So business folks, all my business startups, that little piece of paper when you were sitting in the cab and it was raining and the ink rolled and you had the business name and you were crying because you spent your last $20 in the cab, but you had faith that that was the business, you can apply that to your love life, that little inclination of whether you want a garden and a dog or whatever you want. So, and a husband and wife. So, okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
I believe you're meant to have what you want. I really do.
That's a good slogan for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, this coming year. We got some fun stuff coming up this week, right?
Yeah, we do.
We have a little private event. We'll post pictures and tell you guys about it. Nicole will be there on the 8th. And then Nicole's going to be with me this Thursday. I switched it up on you guys because a lot of my mixers are on Saturday nights. And so this is an entrepreneur lab where I want to attract more business-minded people. And I want the sun to still be up, even though it's almost down.
I like that. I like the sun up.
Yeah. You know, so from 4 to 10 this Thursday, December 5th, we'll be in Santa Monica at Rap Saloon. It's the oldest, most historical building in Santa Monica in the heart of Silicon Beach for all the startup energy and business owners. Nicole will be there and she's going to talk to you one-on-one if you guys want to come by.
Yeah.
Go on Eventbrite and just type in the startup holiday mixer, entrepreneur lab.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, and so are you available for the high-level ladies if they want to reach you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay, reach out to me. So, you know, Instagram. Message me on Instagram. I don't know why. I feel like my Instagram inbox is like the one that I pay attention to the most.
I get you more even there on the cell than on the text.
Oh, my God, my cell, no. I don't respond to messages. Well, I either respond right away or I take like a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like that. You know
what
I mean?
That's okay. You got to find a rhythm.
Yeah, but Instagram, I don't know. I love Instagram.
I love it too. Yeah. So give us one little piece of information. So if there's a guy or girl out there that, you know, they want to do a coaching, whether it's love coaching or any kind of coaching business, and they've got a little money saved and they've got the vision, what's the next step? Do they just test it out on their friends? I think that you...
Yeah, I would test it out. I would get some pro bono clients, like good people, and I would test it out. I would get testimonials from them if you did a good job. And I would ask them to hire you, like if you do a good job for them. And I would ask them for their friends, and I would start creating content. If I were starting all over again, I would put more content out there from the beginning. Every single person on my world who pays me money found me because of good content. So content is the king, it's the queen, it's everything. So I would say put out content everywhere for sure.
Were you going to give us a little bit of like how you found your guy?
Yeah, I found him on Tinder. So it's like a whole, okay. So this is the back story is that I was another dating coach who I'd interviewed randomly told me you should say yes to every 36-year-old guy who asks you out. And I was like, that's random. So I knew it was from God because it sounded so 36? Random.
Yeah. 36, right? I'd be playing the lotto with that number.
So I actually had like a really good lover too right before Mike. That was 36. And the only reason was because it was 36. And that that was a little, it was a good little experience before I met Mike.
Okay.
That's a whole separate story. So then I saw Mike's profile and half his pictures were like to the side, half had sunglasses on. And I'm in my head, I'm like, does this guy have cross eyes? like, should I swipe on him? But he had keeping it zen, like, under his thing, and I'm like, you know, very spiritual person, and he was 36, so I swiped right. But I remember going, like, before I went on the date, I was like, maybe he has cross eyes, like, maybe he's hiding something.
Oh.
Because, like, all he had not the best
pictures. He's trying to be incognito.
Yeah, but okay. He said he was 6 feet, and even though he's 5'11", I told him I'll never let you live that down.
Yeah.
So I was kind of worried that he was going to have, like, a weird eye situation, honestly.
I would have never thought of that. Really?
Yeah. No, it was all, like, but then he had, okay, so he used to be a model back in the day.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So he had one modeling picture that looked, like, really good, but then he had one, so I already told him, like, he knows I don't like his scrunching face. When he laughs, he like scrunches in a really weird way, and he had one scrunching. So the reason I'm telling you the story is because you got to follow your intuition. Like, my mind could have made up a million things about why I shouldn't swipe right.
Yeah,
but I just did it anyway, and then we had a really great, like, first date.
Oh, good. How long did it take to get off the ground?
Like, pretty much instantly. I mean, he asked me to be exclusive on the third date. I said no.
Okay.
Because I was like, no, I needed to vet him
yeah.
a little bit more, you
so,
know?
Yeah.
I was his first Tinder date. He got
oh,
so
really?
Freaking, I told him. So, okay, so we're on the first date, and he told me that he was his first, my first, so he was divorced.
Uh-huh.
He took a year off to heal, and then I was his first date. And he
wow.
told me that on the first date, and I said, I feel bad for you, because it all goes downhill from here. Like, I was like, he's meeting the best woman. So
I love that confidence.
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, thank you so much for stopping by
and
setting our holiday weekend and in our next coming week here. So you guys check out Nicole on all the social media platforms and on her her website. And come see us this Thursday,
yeah.
all right, you guys?
I'll
from
read
4
you.
To 10. She'll read you.
Yeah.
So let's get that holiday going. And what will you start up today? Thanks for tuning in. Have a good one.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.